Last September, YouTube stopped promoting long-form videos for a while. And as a result, a couple of videos kind of went under the radar on career change. And they got very, very few views. So I put them together here as a compilation. You may have seen it before, and if so, you know, I'm sorry if this is a repeat for you. But I think that most of my viewers never got a chance to even see these views of these videos because they were never pushed out to a wider audience. Anyway, I hope you enjoy them. The videos were all about midlife career change and how to pull yourself from a place where you're really dissatisfied with your life and find a path forward to something that will be more fulfilling. I hope you enjoy it. I worked in the same career field for about 30 years. I remember the last 10 years, I spent a lot of time, especially on the weekends, counting the hours before I had to go. Laying in bed on Sunday night, staring at the ceiling, fully understanding how it is so many heart attacks occur on Monday mornings. Praying for my next vacation, negotiating for more time off. This is no way to live. This is like being in a dead marriage. When you're in a dead job, your life becomes miserable. And trust me, you don't have enough time on this planet to spend any more time than necessary being miserable. Today, I want to talk about a different part of Life 2.0. I want to talk about career. How do you make your nut? How do you make your money? How do you achieve what you want in your life as a professional? Because I think it's just as important as relationships, maybe more so. So today, we're going to get into careers, following your dream, finding your passion. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. When you're a young guy, you don't know what you don't know. So you're just going to follow the algorithm. You're going to do what everybody else tells you to do. You're going to try to get some money. You're poor. So just get enough money to buy a car. It feels like a real success. And you're just happy to have a job. Yeah. That's okay, because you're acquiring skills. And following the money when you're 20 probably makes a lot of sense. But as you get older, you start to realize that you're trading your life for dollars. And then the stakes get a little bit higher. And that's really what I'm going to talk about with you guys today, is as you've acquired some skills and you started to figure it all out, what do you do then? How do you manage that situation? Because it can be very difficult, because you've got a lot of responsibilities now. You've got a lot of stuff you've got to think about. And it's not quite so easy to just quit your job and start from scratch. I always thought my ex-wife was really lucky because from a very early age, she knew exactly what she wanted to do. She wanted to be a dancer. And I think from like the age of 12 all the way through high school, she just danced and danced and danced. In fact, she even went to the Baltimore School of the Arts, where a lot of famous performers went, and she danced. And, you know, in her senior year of high school, she had a job dancing at the local amusement park at King's Dominion. And from there, she went to New York and started auditioning for plays. And she danced and danced all through her 20s. Problem is dancing is like being a professional athlete. And she had dedicated all of her time and energy and thought into this one career field. And when she got to be in her 30s, which is when I met her, in her early 30s, I think we met when she was like 31, she was done with dancing. You know, she physically just didn't want to do it anymore. You know, I think it was more of a psychological thing than it was a physical thing, but she would blame it on her body, you know, not wanting to do it anymore. So in retrospect, I don't think she was quite so lucky, because she was so focused on the one thing that she didn't acquire a lot of other skills. And so when she gave up dancing, she had to start from scratch. She had to kind of figure herself out again. Now for me, I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do when I was in my 20s. Or when I was even a teenager, for that matter. The only reason I went to college is because my girlfriend was going, and I didn't want her to be around all those college guys. So we took every single class together for that whole freshman year. She and I were in lockstep together. college is more about drinking and chasing tail than anything else for me. And so I got 3 years in and was like, oh man, I just need a break. And so I took a break, and Domino's Pizza was running some kind of a manager to franchisee thing. And I thought, you know, I need money, because all through college I had to work. I had to pay my bills, my car payments and insurance and stuff like that. So I was fed up with hustling to make a little extra change on the side, and I was ready to start chasing money in a profound and real way. So I quit college and I went and joined Domino's Pizza as a manager in training. And that was a slave labor job. Let me just tell you right now, they worked you a minimum of 60 hours a week. Minimum. And they paid you $3.50 an hour. And when you got past 40 hours, you got the overtime, time and a half. So yeah, you were living on that time and a half, man, that overtime. And then if you make extra money, you drive pizzas to get tips. Oh my God. You're just literally scraping money together, and you're working from morning to night every single day. Well, eventually I became a general manager of one of Domino's competitors, because they solicited me, the owners did. And I was probably like 22, 23 years old, and I'm earning a $40,000 a year base. This is like in 1985, 86. Yeah, so I'm making 40,000 base, and I got a $10,000 to $15,000 bonus opportunity. And I made that bonus most of the time. So I was chasing money, chasing money, chasing money. That's the whole point of this. And it was a waste of time, because I was exhausted by the end. I didn't acquire very much in the way of skills. I mean, I did learn how to manage people, I guess, and how to hustle. But it was not gratifying in any way at all. For a guy in his early 20s to be making $50,000 a year, man, I was cashing in. That's like making $150,000 a year today. You know, it's in that range. I was driving a fancy car. I had high insurance bills. I had money in the bank, man. I had money in the bank. But that was my mistake was thinking that my pathway to happiness, to fulfillment, was with money. And that is the mistake that most young people make. Now, I think when you're young, it's okay to make that mistake, because you are going to acquire some skills along the way. Like I said, I became a manager, and I did learn a little bit about, you know, managing people and communicating with people. The money was not the answer. And that's what I came to. Well, I quit those jobs, and I had to come up with something. So I got my insurance licenses, and I went back to the insurance industry. It was where my mom had her business. And I worked for her for a couple of years, and then I got moved on to one of the companies to be a trainer and things like that. By the time I was in my early 30s, and this was back in, say, 1996, 1997, I was making $75,000, $80,000 a year working for an insurance company. Again, doing something that I didn't enjoy at all, you know. It was easy for me to do, because I had mastered the job. I knew it inside and out. I was completely competent at it, and they could pay me well for it. So there's another trap there. So chasing money is one thing, you know, and you become trapped by that. And then the other thing is, once you become so competent at something that you're really not enthusiastic about, it's hard to let it go, because now you're making a lot of money because of your competence. But it's boring, because you know it. You know the job. You know it inside and out. There's really not that much more for you to do. Like, your responsibilities are limited in this job. And that becomes a problem for you as well, because you're not stretching yourself. You're not pushing yourself. You're not trying to attain anything. These traps are so easy to fall into when you're in your 20s and 30s, because the algorithm pushes you in that direction, you know? The important thing about this time, despite the algorithm and chasing money, is that all the while you are acquiring skills, whether you realize it or not. And these skills become a unique set of currencies that you have that you can apply at some point in the future to actually experience some level of fulfillment in your life. So after that, I went back to my parents' shop, because the companies wanted to transfer me to the Midwest, and I really didn't want to go to the Midwest. I was a newlywed, I had a baby on the way, having family nearby was a valuable thing, even more valuable than the extra money they were going to pay me, so I just said no to that. And I went back to the safe track, because I knew that if I went to my family's agency, even though it was something I had done off and on over the years for, 20 plus years, since I was a teenager, and I knew what that was like, and I knew that there was a lot of drawbacks to doing it, but I also knew that it was safe. And at that stage in my life, with a new wife and a new baby en route, I wanted safe. Safe mattered a lot to me. So I went back, and I became the general manager of their place. And the plan was for me to take over and to own it at some point. And they held out that ownership stick, that carrot, for a long, long time. Despite the fact that the business was achieving all of its goals, exceeding all of its goals, and we were making tons and tons of money, again, it wasn't very challenging. It wasn't something that inspired me. It became something eventually that I dreaded. Over the course of that last 10 years, it just became more and more and more unbearable. I even tried to spice things up minus 5 year point, where I knew that I was fed up with it. So I recommended that we do a merger with a company that was in trouble, a big company, and they're about the same size as us. It would require an enormous financial expenditure. Anyway, to make a long story short, that became the biggest mistake I ever made, because the guy that ran that other company that was in my job was one of my best friends, and that's why we made it work. And oh, the betrayals were just classic. He just betrayed me left and right and left and right. And finally, I just had to leave. Not just because of his betrayals, but because I knew I was fed up with it. I knew it wasn't my passion. It wasn't something that I really wanted to do. And so I quit. Now, quitting without a real good plan is not a great idea. I can tell you that from experience, because I did not have a great plan when I quit. What I had was a sense of relief when I quit. It's like when your wife leaves, at first you're thinking, oh, it's gonna be terrible, but then you go, oh, this is great, oh my God. Yeah, so being unemployed was great, because I had money in the bank and I had a severance package, I actually had a very generous severance package, enough to keep me going for at least a year. And during that year, man, I started writing books. I thought, I'm going to be an author. I'm going to write books about fitness and health. That was my passion. Thing is, I didn't know enough about fitness and health to be writing books, quite honestly. I had not made it my career. It was a hobby. It was not something that I knew well enough. What I should have done at that point is I should have gotten a job as a personal trainer at Gold's Gym, and I should have gotten a certificate from some organization as a health coach right away, and I should have started applying that before I started writing books on the topic, because I regret the books that I wrote, and I spent an entire year writing them, and it cost me enormous amounts of money to get them published. But what I should have done in retrospect is I knew 15 years before then what I really wanted to do, but the job title just didn't turn me on, because I was senior vice president of the organization, and I truly was running the place. And I had a corner office with windows and the whole nine yards, and I was very impressed with myself. I was very, very impressed with my title and my business card and my income. I was making a lot of money. But it wasn't fulfilling. I wasn't happy. It sucked. I dreaded every minute of it. It made my life miserable. I was trapped in this golden velvet prison, is what I did. A cell that I had built myself. I had built it with my own hands. I couldn't get out. That's the way it felt. So when I left, when I gave my notice in January of 2015, even just saying, I'm going to quit and I'm going to give you 6 months notice so I can, help you guys transition to the next, whatever comes next. Even that just felt so much better. It was like, now there's a light at the end of the tunnel. What I should have done at that point, though, is I should have gotten really serious with what do I really, really want to do. In the early 2000s, I had gone into a bodybuilding contest and had done really, really well. And so working out and training was always something that I enjoyed doing. I knew that being a personal trainer was something that I would enjoy a lot. But It was hard for my ego to manage going from senior vice president to personal trainer. You know what I mean? From being the person giving the orders to the person taking the orders. My ego struggled with that. And then the financial part of it, I convinced myself, was that there was no way I could make enough money as a personal trainer to compensate or to make up the difference from what I was making before. Both of those assumptions were completely wrong. I did not know what I did not know. And because of that, I allowed myself to suffer so much more than I needed to. I could have just made the decision upon leaving my business, my old business, and my old job, and starting a business or working for someone else and really starting to understand what it takes to be a good personal trainer, to become understanding of nutrition and diet and all that stuff, and working with people on a one-on-one basis. I should have done that from the very first minute, because if I had done that from the very first minute, it would have shortened my learning curve. I knew that that path was something that was attractive to me, but I denied it because of my ego. And I think that a lot of people do that. I think a lot of us think that I won't be able to be successful at something that I love doing because it's not important enough, or it's not, they don't pay enough for it, or it doesn't have enough of a title. And that is a huge, huge, huge mistake. Because what I've learned is that when you have passion and you are dedicated because it's your thing, you put so much more work in than you would have ever thought. When I hear the term hard work, I think about putting in post holes, you know, digging up post holes, you know, with an iron rod and a shovel and a pickaxe. That's hard work. You know, that work sucks. People say you need to work hard to achieve anything in life. And I have a problem with that. Because hard work to me sounds like work that's distasteful, work that doesn't feel good, work that is, you're resisting it, like it's something that you don't want to do. Since I left my job, I have worked harder, meaning I worked more intensely, longer than I ever did in that last decade at my job, probably actually ever in my life. Nevertheless, it didn't feel hard. It didn't feel difficult. It wasn't like something that I was resisting. It was something that I was embracing. I knew that it needed to get done, and I enjoyed the process of doing it. And in fact, the better I got at it, the more efficient I became, the less time I had to spend doing the things that I didn't like doing, and I could spend more time doing the things that I enjoyed doing. And I became better and better and better at it. And then my ability to charge more for my services went up and up and up as I became more and more effective and more capable of not only helping people achieve their goals, but in developing very strong long-term relationships with really high-value clients. So I was able to make enough money. In fact, I was able to, over the course of, I guess, from the time that I left my job in 2016 until, today, well, I'm making a lot more money now than I was back then, you know? And I'm working less. I mean, in terms of hard work, I work more hours, I guess. But it's not hard. It's stuff that I enjoy doing, and I have a lot of fun doing it, like making these videos, meeting with my clients, writing that book. You know, it was all fun. It was all a passion. You know, it was all something that came from me authentically. It was not something that I had to force from me. When you can get into that level where you are in the zen or in the flow of what you're doing, and you're getting paid for it, you will find that you will be successful, and that money just flows towards you naturally, because you have passion for it. And you have to understand that not everybody has the same passion that you do. Not everybody has the same skill sets that you do. So when you bring your skill sets and your passion and your unique perspective on life to something that you really love to do, you're creating a commodity that is unmatched in the marketplace. In fact, you're no longer at the mercy of the market, because you're creating your own market. Because you are incomparable, and what you bring to the customer and to the marketplace is not comparable to anything else that's out there. You are one of a kind. Now, what do you charge for one of a kind? Well, as much as people will pay. And quite honestly, they will pay a lot when you're doing a good job for them. So, I guess my message here is, don't chase the money. Let the money chase you. When you become good at something that you love to do, and you are dedicating yourself to it in an enthusiastic way, you won't need to look at how much jobs pay. You won't even look at jobs. You'll be thinking about how you can create your own way in the world. I said in another video about how tax advantaged being a small business owner is. There is a life advantage because now you are in control. Right? It's like that same thing from being divorced. Like when you finally realize that you're entering into life 2.0, you are in control. Like this is your thing. You do what you want. You live your life the way you want to. And when you can do that with your career or your job as well, where you are in control and you have the ability to make choices that benefit you in the way that you choose to be benefited. Maybe you want to let things go on easy street for a while. So you just tone everything down and you travel, you know, you do things remotely if you can, or you want to turn things up. You want more money. You just start doubling down on the things that you can do well, but you have control. And that is the most important thing. Try to make that transition. You don't need to do it like in a day or a week or a month or even a year. Take your time. Do what it takes to get to where you need to be in order to achieve what you want. Maybe you need to take some classes. Maybe you need to pick up some skills. I certainly did. But you gotta start taking steps in that direction. And what's interesting, I think, is just like when I gave my notice that I was leaving, once you have in your head that you are making a move in your own benefit, you will find that there becomes a little more hope in your life. You become just a little more joyful. You'll find that you are seeing that light at the end of the tunnel and you're moving towards something with intention. And when you do that, it just adds something to your life. It just gives you energy. It just gives you that enthusiasm for life. And that is what makes life worth living. That's what things are supposed to be like. All right, you guys, I think that's all I got for you today. I'm going to do a couple more videos on this topic because I know I just sort of scratched the surface on a lot of things here. And I know there are a lot of you guys and say, John, you need to go deeper into this. And I think I do because Life 2.0 is about more than just reclaiming your autonomy and your authenticity in your personal life. It's also about achieving autonomy and authenticity in your professional life. You can't have real freedom until you have it in all areas of your life. And once you achieve that freedom, the fulfillment and the peace just gets magnified. It really does. It just makes your life so much more enjoyable. So anyway, till next time, remember, like and subscribe. If you know someone who likes the video or who needs this kind of information, please forward this video to them. And until next time, stay healthy. And if you can, stay single. The older we get, the less likely we are to be able to deal with significant changes in our lives, especially as men. We get set in our ways. It's the devil we know versus the devil we don't. Of course, we assume, because of our negative bias, that it's all going to suck either way. So dealing with the suck that we know how to deal with is probably better than trying to figure out the suck that we don't know what to deal with. This keeps us in bad marriages, and it keeps us in bad jobs. Change is a four-letter word for everybody over 40. But unfortunately, facing change and even pursuing change is the only way to get out of the suck, to get into a place where you're living a healthy, fulfilling, happy, enriching life. You gotta come face to face with the devil you know and the devil you don't. So that's what we're gonna talk about today. Changing careers midlife. How do you do it? How do you get past the fear of failure? This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. The Serenity Prayer reminds us that we need to focus on those things that we can control. Ignore those things that we can't and know the difference. Yesterday, I was talking to a guy that I've been working with for I don't know, like 8 or 9 months now, helping him lose weight as a coaching client, but he lives in New Jersey, so we do it all by video. And he's lost like 30 plus pounds, 35 pounds. He's doing great. But I asked him yesterday how he's doing recently since our last meeting, and he says, you know, I'm just so stressed out. I just can't seem to get any traction. I said, well, tell me what's going on. And I know he has a sick mom that he's been caring for. So I was assuming that's what his answer was going to be, something related to her. He said, well, ever since this Charlie Kirk assassination, I haven't been able to focus my mind on anything around the house and getting anything done. And I thought, wait a second, man. Like, you didn't personally know Charlie Kirk. I mean, I get it. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I mean, it's got all kinds of implications for our culture and our society and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it definitely falls into that category of things that you can't control. And so you need to focus your attention on those things that you can. I think that too oftentimes we allow our focus to drift into areas that we have no reason to be focused on. We have no control, and so we need to allow those things to be what they are, because we can't change them. If you can't change it, why bother with it? This comes into play when it comes to your life in general, talking about change, but jobs and marriages as well. We allow the outside world and the noise of the outside world and what's happening in the economy and what's happening in politics and what's happening in Russia and China and God knows where else. And we don't focus on our own lives. It's because it's so much easier to have an opinion than it is to actually take action. So having an opinion about something that's happening 500, 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 miles away, so much easier than actually facing those things that you need to deal with in your own life. It becomes an excuse. And we rationalize that I'm just too busy, I'm too stressed out. Over what? Really, over what? Yeah, there are terrible things that are going to be happening in our world, and you can use any single one of them as an excuse for not taking action to promote your own life. But you're going to pay the price for it. You're not going to see any improvement. Things are going to remain as they are. And unless you focus your attention and your brain power, your ability to solve problems on your own life, you're never going to solve any. I bring these things up because I think it's critically important that we know what our blind spots are. You can't truly make progress until you know what the playing field is like. And if you don't know where all the players are, then it's very likely that you're going to make a mistake. And for middle-aged and older men, blind spot number one is the devil you know versus the devil you don't. We have a fear of change. I don't know if fear is the right word, but we certainly have an aversion to it. Blind spot number two is we're very easily distracted by things which we have no control over. We see them as external threats. It causes our fight or flight mechanism to turn on. And there's another F in there. It's fight, flight, or freeze. We don't talk about it as often. And when that sympathetic nervous system gets turned on, it can be a call to action, but it can also be a call to inaction. I see the bunnies on the trail, they like to freeze when we're approaching until they realize that those dogs have got them. You know, they got their scent, and then they'll run. But they'll freeze. Lots of animals do that. It's normal. We as humans do that a lot. And as middle-aged men who have an aversion to change to begin with, freezing because of external stimulus is a common defense mechanism. Truth is, if you're facing a crisis in your own life, you need to spend as much of your own energy on your own life as you can. Focusing on things you can't control is just drawing down your reserves, and you can't afford it. So if your phone is blowing up every time something ridiculous happens in the world, you need to turn off your notifications or turn off those apps or do something, because it's just gonna affect you in a negative way. It doesn't have any positive impact. you're not going to be prepared. Plus, if the zombie apocalypse occurs, I guarantee you, you will know about it. Someone will tell you. It's not just gonna slide in. You're gonna be, oh my God, we're at war with China? No, you'll know. Trust me, you'll know. So, shut off your phone. Shut off your notifications. Get clear about your energy and how you need to use it. Because what's coming next is gonna be very, very challenging. So yesterday, I talked a lot about the process psychologically of getting to that place where you know you need to make a change, where you know this job isn't right for you. You know you've gone down the algorithm, life 1.0, and you've ended up in this job that is not fulfilling and you hate it. So we've come to that conclusion that you know that ideally you would like to make a change, but you've got all these forces against you that you've got to deal with in order to get to that place where you can make a change. The first thing you need to do, like I said, is you need to look at those blind spots and make sure that you get those things under control. Because if you have this underlying fear, and a little bit of fear is good, but if it's paralyzing fear, if you're frozen, you're never going to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to make any significant changes. Number two, that you're not distracted by all the stupid shit that's happening in the world. Because if you're wasting your time and energy focused on those things, you're never going to be able to bring your full resources to bear on this very critical time in your life. You've got to get focused, and I mean hyper-focused, on what it is you want. If you're clear on those two things, then the next thing you need to do is you need to start imagining what it is you want for yourself. Think about what your life would be like if you had your perfect job. What would you be doing? What does the, where are you working? What's the accommodations like? You know, are you working from home? Or are you working in an office? Are you in the city that you live in now? Or are you in another city? What's your day like? What time do you get up? What time do you go to work? And then what are you actually doing while you're there? What does it look like in your mind to be you in this job? What does it feel like in your mind to be you in this job? You gotta get this picture. Because without a clear picture of what the future looks like, you will never be able to attain it. I always imagined walking the dogs and working. I truly did. Working from home, walking the dogs. When my marriage first started failing, I took the dogs for walks just to get out of the house. And I remember how peaceful it felt and how at one with myself I felt just out here in the woods walking. And I thought, man, if I could just find a way to earn a living walking the dogs, that would be ideal. I'm like, oh, you can't be a dog walker, man. That's not a good job. Well, now I'm a paid dog walker. You know, YouTube pays me to walk my dogs. But my point is you got to get clear about what you want for yourself. And the second thing is you got to think about, what are you actually going to do? What are your skills? What are your desires? What do you have deep down inside that you maybe have been afraid to let surface because you don't think that it's realistic? If you can't think of something, then I suggest you go back in time in your mind to when you were a younger man and you had lots of dreams and visions for the future. Put on some music that takes you back there. It really does make a difference. Go into a sort of a meditative state, listening to some of your favorite songs and just going through your history, going through your past, remembering hanging out with your friends, remembering your old girlfriends, and remembering the thoughts that you had. What were you going to do with your life? What visions that you have for yourself. Try to recapture a little bit of that energy, because if you can do that, then you can start filling in a lot of the gaps. The biggest problem a lot of people have is they're afraid to come to terms with that inner secret that they've been keeping all this time about what they really, really, really want to do. It's not just, I want to make money. It's not just, I want to have a good, you know, job title. I want to be respected. But the third really is, it's got to be harmonious with who I am as a person. And that's the one that we most frequently sacrifice. Because we'll take the money, we'll take the job title, but that inner harmony, we don't realize how critically important that is. So we sacrifice it all the time. But when you can get into that inner harmony and you're doing the thing that you truly, truly love, you're going to find that you're really going to be successful. Once you have rediscovered that inner harmony, now you've got to take a look at your skill sets. You've been doing something for 15 or 20 years. What have you been doing? Do any of the skills that you currently have align well with what you want to do? If so, great. Research the qualities and skills for that ideal career path that you want to have and see if what you currently have aligns well with it. If there are any deficits that you have, I would suggest that you address them by reading books about it, doing some online research, and if all else fails, take a class. But you definitely need to align yourself so that you can do those things that you, you can be successful right from the very beginning. The third thing that you need to realize is that there is probably going to be some disruption in your cash flow. So you're going to have a plan for this. Now, I am not giving you financial advice here, okay? Because a financial advisor would say, oh, you should never do that. You should never do that. But I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? I'm going to give you what I did. And you can decide for yourself whether it's worth it or not. It's a personal decision. So when my money was running out, I tapped into my 401k. I had a couple $100,000 in my 401k. Now, granted, I paid out the yin-yang for taxes for that. I mean, ridiculous rates for tax. And it drained my retirement significantly. And a lot of financial advisors would say that's the worst thing you could do. You're being very short-sighted. You're not thinking long-term. You're not taking the safe road. Well, if you're at midlife and you're thinking about making a significant change in your career, you're not on a safe path right now, because you have one of two choices. You can stay on the path you're on, and you may die at age 65 or earlier from a heart attack, you know, and you might be miserable for the balance of your life, the balance of your working life. You may always ask yourself, I should have, I could have, I would have. Why didn't I take the opportunity when it came my way? Why didn't I use my time more wisely? Like, that's what's at stake. Or you can cash in that 401k or draw down on it and start using that money to propel your dream into reality. Now, there is another positive side to this, because once you start tapping into that money, it's going to push you harder and harder and harder to be successful. You're going to be motivated. You are not going to want to waste that money, because you realize that if you're tapping into that money, this is your last shot. Like, that's the emergency fund. You are going into that, and you are going to use that money to create an entirely new life for yourself. Now, like I said, the financial advisor in me says you shouldn't do that. But the guy who transitioned his life over the course of about, I don't know, I guess a decade, from completely a different life than what I have now to something so much more fulfilling and financially rewarding and more enjoyable just on a daily basis, that it's worth it. It cost me to make this transition, I guess, you know, before taxes, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000+, $350,000, $400,000, I guess, all together. So it was not a cheap transition. It was not cheap. But I can tell you, it's very difficult to put a value on your quality of life. My life is happier and more fulfilling than it's ever been, which gives me the opportunity to be more productive and to make more money. And it gives me the opportunity to enhance the lives of the people around me, my children, my friends, people I care about. So it gave me the opportunity to come into full realization to my potential. And that is priceless. So I would advise, if you've got a clear vision and you can see how your skill sets are aligning, and you can avoid the distractions, and you can get out of the fight, flight, or freeze frame of mind, and you can have a positive predisposition toward this change, and you're willing to dedicate yourself to it for a while, you're gonna have to really dedicate it. It's gonna be a passion, and it's gonna be a work of passion, but it's gonna be work. If you can dedicate yourself to it, then do it, because it's worth it. It's more than worth it. It's it's invaluable. It's beyond your dreams. How happy your life can be when you make that full transition. So going from being a married guy working at an office in a job that I hate, 40 plus hours a week, to being a single guy who has no office, no jobs, making more money than I made before and having complete freedom and autonomy to live my life exactly the way I want. Exactly the way I want. To bring the people in I want, not the people in I want. It's like, I'm out here in the woods right now. It is Monday morning at 10:20 a.m. How many of you were looking for your first, trip to the bathroom after your third cup of coffee at 10:20 this morning, Yeah, and thinking, oh my God, it's just another hour and a half till lunchtime. So I can get the fuck out of here. I can go somewhere and relax, Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. Oh my God, you gotta see this. The dumb dog's eating a tree. What are you doing there, Dibu? What are you doing, man? I don't think you can eat the tree, okay? Just leave it. Don't let money be the driving factor from the get-go, because there is a wide range of what people can earn in different jobs or in different career paths. And if you have a preconceived idea about the value of a particular career path, you may be underestimating it significantly. I underestimated how much money I could make as a personal trainer. I thought $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year would be good. And I made well over $100,000 a year after a couple of years. Now, the first didn't start off that way. But by 2020, I made $120,000, $125,000 that year just doing personal training and a little bit of health coaching on the side. So yeah, you can do quite well in jobs that you would not have guessed. Now, you may have to work. Don't think you're not going to be actually dedicating some time and energy to it. But the value and the opportunity to make a lot of money is still there for you. Don't allow yourself to fall into analysis paralysis. So as you're looking at all of the different aspects of this new career that you want to take on, don't let yourself fall into that path of trying to gather so much information that it eventually just becomes so much that you can't make a decision. And that happens to a lot of people because they get frozen in the idea or the belief or the dreaming stage and the prepping stage, and they never actually start taking steps toward it. You've got to take action. You've got to actually make those tough decisions. You've got to actually give notice at your old job. You've got to make that commitment. I talked in a video a long time ago about jumping out of an airplane, and one of the wonderful things about jumping out of an airplane is you can't change your mind. Once you're hanging from the strut of the wing, once you're out there and that wind's hitting you in the face, there's only one way out, and that's you gotta drop. You gotta let go of the airplane. You gotta let go of the safety. And you've gotta have some faith and trust that everything is gonna be okay. And when that parachute mercifully opens and your heart stops beating in your throat, you can think, it's all gonna be good. It's all gonna be okay. But life is about taking risks. Life is about stretching ourselves. It's about growing. It's about becoming better human beings. It's about being the best person that you can be. And I would argue that being stuck in a job that you hate, that you don't wanna do anymore, and it's suppressing your natural talent, whatever that might be, then you're not gonna ever be your best self. You'll never achieve your potential. Anyway, I hope that's useful, hope that helps. I may do another video on this. I'll see how the comments are. Let me know if you think you need more, and if so, what exactly you're looking for. Anyway, please remember to like and subscribe. If you know someone who's considering a career change, please offer this video to them, maybe it'll help them out. Until next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.